We back with the recap. Mm.
Oh, the Devil of Hell's Kitchen.
The Devil of Hell's Kitchen, which I have to go ahead and say it. Wayne's still stuck up on, oh, everybody thinks Avengers gonna be the best movie property of Marvel or whatever shit. I gotta tell you, nah, Wayne, you so out of place that you didn't even know that a devil was near. A Devil of Hell's Kitchen, whatever. Oh, that's right, because Australia don't get Netflix. Yeah. So how the fuck can you talk about Turtles and Doom in the same category? You can't even get Netflix to watch The Devil of Hell's Kitchen. You feel me?
You fucking sheep.
Yes, or whatever. The Devil of Hell Kitchen, the best Marvel property out right now, whatever shit.
You are goddamn right, my friend.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm telling you, the best superhero property out there right now. Oh, my God. Oh.
You ask me. I think it's one of the top five Marvel properties, period.
Oh, yeah. Oh, easily. Fucking easily.
Yeah.
It's a 13-hour event, too. 13 fucking hours of galore and greatness. And people, we are the Recap Crew. I'm the phenomenal one.
I am Cody.
And we're here to talk about that Daredevil, baby. That episode 9 and 10. I can taste it. 9 and 10, which was Speak of the Devil, Nelson v. Murdoch. Oh, who needs that Batman v. Superman when you got Nelson v. Murdoch? I mean,
Nelson v. Murdoch right now. Ultimate bromance right there.
The ultimate bromance, which we're going to get into that. I can't wait to talk about that. But speak of the devil, let me go ahead and give a quick synopsis of this before Cody gives the Nelson v. Murdoch synopsis. But speak of the devil here. So we're picking up from the last episode here, of course. And I will go ahead and say it, man. I think I love this episode, but let me go ahead and give a synopsis. So we all see that Fisk gained the upper hand by becoming Hell's Kitchen's, I guess, hero, if you want to call him that. And it almost looks like damn near Daredevil's lost hope. He's like, yeah, I don't give a fuck now, whatever and shit. But Wilson Fisk is like, we need to tie up every loose end that we may have that's pretty much, you know, can put us out there and expose us. One person in particular being the Devil in the Black. Or the Devil's of Hell Kitchen, or that blind motherfucker, whichever you prefer.
All applicable.
Yes, that's right. So he's like, you know, hey, Naboo, kill him. And, you know, Naboo, we kind of see that, like, he's kind of, like, getting defined a little bit with Fisk. He's like, he barges in or whatever, breaks a dude hand, go like, nah, fuck this. You owed me this whole block right here. I don't want the block down the street next to the deli shop. No, I don't want that. I want this right here, motherfucker. And Fisk is even looking like he's like, it almost looked like Fisk was scared of him for a second. I was like, yeah, oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah, for a secondary, yeah, I kind of saw that.
Yeah, I was like, I think where a lot of these people that got killed by Fisk, their problem is, I think Fisk probably played it cooler by at least trying to show them respect or a little bit of fear, and then going behind their backs and going like, somebody take his ass out now, or whatever and shit. Where these guys, they come straight to his face or whatever, already posing a threat. It's just like, you know, you seen this guy already take out one of his men. It's like, I don't know if it's wise to get right up in his face and shit like that, because obviously we know he's capable of any fucking thing now. That's despicable. I mean, he has no honor. Let's be real. Shit. I mean, I know Naboo is all about this honor shit, especially in this last scene where that motherfucker was just straight up just like, you. He's like goddamn Optimus Prime or something like that.
No, don't confuse that with you.
I mean, at least he has more respect than Optimus Prime. At least when he says his shit, it actually means something. Optimus Prime. When Naboo said, he don't come out and be behind your back or whatever and stick a sword up your shit. Like, with honor, it's just like,
he says it before he kills you. Yeah.
How is that with honor, Optimus? With honor. Oh, after you just got done telling him, I will kill you. I guess you gotta make it noble just by saying it honor. I don't know. So he tells Naboo, hey, handle this situation. Put one of your best trained men on this. And Naboo's like, okay, yeah, I can do that. Little did we know, this was a fucked up scene we had here. Because Daredevil's been kind of, not hiding out so much, but just kind of been not being seen as much, you know. Trying to kind of dealing with the situations at hand that's been going on in Matt Murdock's world. You know, he finally comes back out in Daredevil because they straight up killed Mrs. Cardenas in this motherfucker.
Man, my heart sank, dude. My heart sank.
Man, at first I didn't know where they were gonna go with that, and then you know they see them pull at the, I think it was at the police station, or maybe I think it was at the morgue, or whatever. They pretty much burned the body, and they pulled that bag back, and you see her body. I was like, oh shit, dude. Yeah. Oh shit. I was like, God damn, dude. Wilson, come on, man.
No fucks given.
Jesus Christ, dude. I love it because earlier in this show we was talking about how like. He's so calm and cool, and you know he has a smoothness to him, and you know all that shit, man. Damn, be dude, though, man. If he has to get something, if he wants something done, he don't give a fuck. Yeah, exactly. He will get a fuck. He don't give a fuck who's in his way. He could be an old lady, fucking crippled dude, no eyes, something like that. He don't give a shit.
Your child, your newborn daughter, don't matter.
Yeah, man. Oh, which we'll get into later in the, I guess next week when we come back for this, the later episodes where he don't care about old people too. apparently he's like Idris. He got a choke bitch, you know. So
that's the Marvel thing to do nowadays. Yeah.
Hey, Marvel was saying, see, we're not racist. We got a different race here choking a nigga now. You know what I'm saying? Because we found out a lot of Australians got mad when they found out a black man choked them. So you know what? We did the reverse this time. You know. So, but damn, I can't wait to talk about that episode because it was funny how that broke out too. It's just like, what you gonna do? it's like, what you mean? What are you gonna do? But this gets Daredevil back on the scene. Daredevil is beating the fuck out of crime people left and right. I mean, he even chased that one black dude. I love this dude's like, come on, man, whatever. It's like, I didn't do these. Just like, reach for the gun in your back pocket, I break your fucking arm, whatever and shit. And this dude like, all right, I'm cool, man. How cool? Shit, what you got, man? It's just like. So he's pretty much saying, you know, hey, oh, that's right, because he gets, he finds out about the armor from him. He's like, yo,
that's right.
I cut Fisk up, and he has some kind of special suit on. Where can I find the guy that makes this armor or this suit or anything like that? So he finds him, which we're going to talk about later in the season as well. He finds him, he has this guy, makes him a suit, which, well, we did a whole fucking bonus show about this guy. I ain't gonna say nothing about him because I'm gonna save that for when that episode really comes clear. Because you guys are assholes, especially you, Cody.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
That's fucked up, dude. I was like, man, this dude is trying.
Disclaimer for the future. I'm sorry.
This dude is trying and everything, man. And y'all hate on his work and shit. Like I commend him just for getting it done. You know,
his creations are wonderful works of art. P1.
I mean, at least he got it done. You know what I'm saying?
He has great work ethic.
Yeah, he does. He's very motivated.
I'm telling that motherfucker now.
That motherfucker was 3 seconds away from saying, I am Groot. So he gets his information where to meet up, or where at least to get a location of where Fisk may have been hiding, which I was even thinking in my head, I was like, that was a little too easy if you ask me. I was like, ugh. I can tell this is a setup, and he hears a heartbeat, which we later find out that it was Nobu. He dressed up as a ninja, and that he's got some connection with Stick as well, because he even tells him, he's just like, so I see that the old man's taught you how to hide your heartbeat and stuff like that. And I was just like, oh man, I'm loving more and more of this Nobu character, man. So it makes me wonder if that guy we saw at the end of Stick, the episode Stick, the big guy they had in there, is he got a connection with Naboo and all this as well, too.
Right.
Because, man, I got to say, the Russians I thought was some badass crime lords or whatever shit, but I got to say that the Japanese, Naboo and all them, they got me more fascinated.
I agree.
So, show ends with these two having an all-out battle. And my God, is it fucking bloody as hell. I mean, it's pretty much on the cusp of Daredevil pretty much getting killed almost. I was just like, I don't see how the fuck he gets through this. And then once he sets Naboo's ass on fire, which I thought was hilarious, and Naboo was still fighting, I was like, God damn, dude. I was like, shit. Shit, dude. I was like, he wasn't lying with that, with honor shit or whatever. He's like, yeah. I mean, he's talking nonstop. He's like, it's been great honor to fight you or whatever and shit like that. But he's like, but I must kill you. Shit. This dude's on fire and still fighting and shit. Like, and then I never thought I'd see this happen. But as soon as Naboo just passes out and dies, the man himself, Wilson Fisk, shows up.
That's right.
And I was like, oh, shit. shit, dude. I said, you a dead man, dude. I said, you know, it's funny to see, watch an episode or something like this, or a movie or anything like this, to see something, a scene like this happen, and to still be excited for it, knowing that the main character is gonna live somehow, because it's got three more. It's got three more episodes. There's no way they can kill him off this or whatever shit like that. But it just, they wrapped. I mean, they showed this so well. It almost look, made it look like this shit's bleak for this guy. I mean, I don't see how Daredevil's gonna make it out of this.
Very bleak.
Kingpin tells him, take your best shot. He takes a couple of good shots. I remember I was going, get him, Daredevil. Come on, get him. One, two, or whatever shit. And Kingpin headbutt the fuck out of him. He went down. It's like, oh, shit, you dead now, bro. And then he got on him ruthlessly, just punching Matt Murdock in the face. Just bam.
Blowing his ass.
Blowing him and shit. And you saw the face of, like, his nose was all broken up and shit. I was like, oh, dude. And then he gave him that double arm hit, too, where he just raised both arms and just slammed. I was like, oh, God. I wanted to tell Kingpin. That's enough, man. pick him up somehow or whatever. And then he was telling Wesley, finish the job or whatever. I guess, turned his head. And, you know, Daredevil finally managed to get one of his sticks up and throw that shit and jump out of a window to safety. But then the show ends with a drunk Nelson, Foggy Nelson here, entering Matt Murdock's apartment and finding the man in the black passed out, and he lifts the mask up and sees that it's his longtime friend, Matt Murdock. The reveal, I didn't think he was going to do that, honestly. So I was really curious to see how that worked out. And then we get into episode 10. Cody, synopsis.
It is Nelson the Murdock that we pick up right where the last episode ended off. Mm-hmm. Of course, where Foggy discovers Matt's true identity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where things get really interesting. This is where all the trust comes into play. Because these guys are BFFs. Best fucking friends.
Yeah, I think I think they're more than Xavier and Magneto, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. These dudes are bros to the max. You talk about bromance. This is a true bromance right here. This is better than any other fucking romantic movie I've seen in the last, like, 5 years.
I was going to say, this is the ultimate bromance.
Yeah.
I mean, as a matter of fact, people, there's no Daredevil in this whole episode. It's just these two in a chair.
Yeah, this is a relatively quiet episode on Daredevil's terms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yet, it was still ripe with great content, man.
Mm-hmm.
So he's confronting him about, you know, this whole Daredevil deal, and he tells him that he tried to kick his ass when he tried to take him to the hospital, because obviously he didn't want his identity revealed.
Damn, this is going to be the easiest synopsis, because all you got to do is say, two motherfuckers was talking in a room. I was thinking back on this episode, I was like, damn, you're right, there was no Daredevil, so I was like, how do you sum this up? I was just like, but...
so he wakes up, and he realized he stitched up from, because he called over Night Nurse while he was incapacitated.
Mm-hmm.
So Foggy Nelson talks about how she is and whatnot. that was pretty funny. Yeah, you got a lot of emotion out of this sequence, man. Cause they're talking, because we get flashbacks in this episode from
how they met.
How they met when they started in high school. And, mm-hmm. We get a cool little banter between them. He's talking about how handsome Matt is, and how he's gonna get girls and shit, and how he's taking Punjabi to get girls and whatnot. And there's also a little reference to Elektra.
Yeah. I gotta say, this show does very well on flashbacks, man.
Yeah.
I remember when Man of Steel came out, and I remember I started seeing a lot of shit with flashbacks after Man of Steel or whatever. I was like, God damn, man, I'm sick of movies with flashbacks and shit. I gotta say, this show handles a flashback probably better than the actual show that's going on itself.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that, man. Yeah, because mm-hmm. We see they can't be the people who they are today.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging around, getting drunk, you know, being college students and whatnot. Like, and goddamn, how young does that motherfucker look when he shaves?
Yeah, I'm gonna say, like, man.
I'm like, damn.
Hey, I'm gonna say too. Did young Charlie Cox? Did he look taller?
Yeah, it was so bad. I don't know what it was. The hair or what?
You know who he kind of reminded me of with them glasses? I was like, damn, is that James Marsden?
I gotta see that.
I was like, because he looked taller, too. And I was staring. I was like, damn, he'd make a great Cyclops, too. I was like, man. I was like, man, you just got Marvel written all over you, bitch. Hey, and you know what? Charlie Cox, you can do it, too, because two different studios. So, yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah. Now, you know what? No, I'll take that back, because that rat, after we see what he did with Josh Trank, I don't know, man. It's like, yeah, you, hey, don't bite the hand that feeds you. So never mind, scratch that idea.
It's good right now. He ain't gonna fuck that up.
It's like, huh, Defenders or background character in X-Men, huh? Let's see. Huh. That's an Infinity War background character in X-Men. P1, you're a moron, yes.
Yeah, so we also see the flashbacks of them at their old law farm. I forgot what the name of it was. Name-ending Zag, some shit like that. Not important. So we see Matt turning into his abilities. You see, I guess it's like he first started using it for that old-ass motherfucker. Mm-hmm. I thought he was lying about. I forgot exactly what it was.
Hey, you say a lot of emotion in this part, man. I gotta say, my favorite scene probably in this was Ben Urich and his wife in the hospital.
I'm looking into that.
That was touching.
That was great. Really. So we see Matt and Foggy. They move away from that law firm because they're not the most legit people. So they go to create their own law firm. Mm-hmm. And of course, Foggy follows them till the end, man. It shows their great friendship. And later, we see how Matt Murdock became to be Daredevil. We see him on his first night out. It's a pretty fucking tragic story about this dad and his daughter's fucking room every night.
Oh, and I love how Daredevil or Matt Murdock explained it too. He was just like, I can hear voices from miles away and shit. And like every night, I kept hearing this. So I was like, man, that would drive anyone fucking insane. So I was like, Foggy, see, you don't understand. You don't get it, like, because you don't have this ability though.
Yeah, I could see where Matt Murdock was coming from, man. Because all those years of that pent up anger and frustration, hearing that shit, man, come on, you gotta understand. Foggy had to cut up some slack. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I gotta say, man, this episode, well, you're not done with the synopsis yet, right?
Not just
yet. Okay, I was about to say, well, I'll save it for when you're done then.
Okay, well, hey, carrying on from that, we'll also pick up where with Ben and Karen.
Mm-hmm.
So, before that, we pick up with Ben and his wife. Like you said, that touch of sequence where they finally reconcile for a little bit.
Man, that was sad as shit because we find out that she had, because I didn't know what was wrong with her throughout the whole day. I thought, like,
right.
I thought Fisk or somebody did something to her off a story that Ben had earlier or whatever, but we find out that she had Alzheimer's at least because she couldn't remember who that Ben and her just had a conversation and shit. And I was like, damn, dude, that's... Because my grandma, she had that, and I remember before she passed, we had a long conversation, and then she turned around and did the same thing that Ben Urich's wife did, and I was just like, damn, dude, I know how that feels, man. That's like, that shit... It was no joke. So when I saw that in the show, I was like, damn, I understand completely how Ben feels right now. It's like, you just kind of want to break down in tears. Like, god damn, dude, you can't even remember if I told you I loved you or not. Matter of fact, you don't even remember who I am or not. Like, you know, so it's...
Yeah.
So I thought that was... It was probably the most touching scene in this whole show. And it was funny because it was just a look that she gave. You know, it was a look that she gave and a one word she said. Oh, hello, Hanson. I was just like, damn, dude. I was like, oh, man. So, yeah, man, I really love what they're doing with Ben's character. Really love him, man.
Oh, yeah. Ben is fantastic. He's one of my favorite characters on the show, easily.
Yeah, man. This dude is fucking spectacular, dude, man. I was about to spoil the next episode. I was like, no, I'll save that. Oh, man. See, that's the problem with finishing. I'm glad we went this long with only watching two episodes, because if we would have went even further earlier, we'd have been just saying all kind of shit in these recaps, because, man, I was like, I just kind of want to talk about the whole damn thing. I got so much shit to say. But we're going to get in that next week.
We'll get there. But, on top of that, we figure out they cut the funding for healthcare, so they don't get an extension, so... He has to deal with that shit, too. So he's like, man, fuck this. I got this case right now, and I got my wife. So, of course, he's going to choose his wife. So he gives over the case to Karen, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And Karen's like, wait, hold on. Wait, we have this facility. I think you should check it out for your wife. Ben, he's kind of reluctant to do so. He's like, I don't know. Karen, she persuades him anyway. So they go to this healthcare of a...
Was it retirement home? It's a fucking... I like when she said uptown. She says up in uptown. I was just like, now everybody knows New York. Uptown is fucking expensive as hell. It's pretty pricey. I mean, that's where... I ain't trying to put nobody out there, but that's where mainly a lot of rich white people live. So, When she said that, I was like, you know, good and goddamn well. I was like, you know, good and goddamn well he can't afford. So I knew something was up in this. I was just like, nah.
So yeah, they go to retirement home. Then funny sequence, you see this old dude hitting on Karen.
That was me. It's a shame that he didn't have a buddy with him going and saying, can you just stop it? That would have been you. We found old white P1 version. I was like, yeah. Said mine would have just stopped and kept watching her walk away, just like punching me in the dick going saying, come on, you still can get up. I know you can.
Yes, Karen goes to ask her out about how well they treat the patients at this facility, and then she even at one point barges in on one patient. Ben is like, damn, what the hell are you doing? I was like, what the hell are you doing,
Karen? Yeah, same here. I was like, Ben's nigga sense is tingling right now. He's just like, what the fuck?
So they come upon this old woman. They crush her facility and whatnot, and you wonder, hey, why is she talking to her specifically?
Even Ben had this look on her. It's like, Karen, please, what are you doing? Shit, you asked him these questions or whatever and shit. I was like, yeah, me too. I was like, all right, I'm getting uncomfortable now.
Yeah, like, what the fuck you doing right now? Yeah. Come to find out, you figure out this patient is actually Wilson Fisk's mother.
Da-da-da!
Exactly.
And is that how it ended, or I can't remember?
It ends at the that fundraiser party.
The fun. That's right. Okay. Yeah. That's right. Okay.
Yes. We end the episode Fist on the fundraiser party. I forgot exactly what the fundraiser for exactly, but
I think it was for something about the house. Not the housing. Because I remember the senator came and talked to him about the housing, but I think it was for donations to Fisk's organization.
Was, yeah, exactly right. Donations, yes. Okay, yes, to pick up there for the donations fundraiser. You see everybody drinking champagne, whatnot, having a good time. People just start falling out. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And of course, shit gets real when Vanessa, she starts falling out, foaming at the mouth, and that's where the episode ends.
You know what else? Another character I love too? I love Leland, man.
Leland is hilarious.
Man, Leland is fucking. Like, he's that old guy that be like, I can see why he get on your nerves, because he's always pointing out the obvious and shit. He's just like, God, exactly. Shut the fuck up, Leland, man. But, man, that dude is, I love fucking Leland, man. Leland is, he's probably the funniest fucking character in the whole show, whatever, and stuff. Like, it fits him so well, because he just talks shit nonstop, dude. Like, they don't say in this episode, people, but the next episode, I love it when he's just like, he's like, all right, should I get checked out? I was holding that glass, man. I was
checked out?
And then you talk about the hospital. This place is a dump, man. I was like, damn, dude. Leland is fucking. I've grown to love him more and more. And he's so subtle too. He's only like in two scenes every episode or something like that. And they're like so quick and fast, but he always have that one line that just sticks with you. And you just go like, damn, dude, shut the fuck up, dude. Seriously. Like, he's that one guy that's just like, man, I'm surprised Wilson is not beat your ass yet. And the only reason why is because you just handle his money, but damn, dude, he's like, you asking for a beating from somebody.
Dixon Marvel Universe. Ultron, they got fucking Leland.
Leland is Ultron. I'm getting mad at that shit. Okay, Ultron telling the obvious shit or whatever, stuff like that, just like, what are you going to do to stop me? And then be like, we're going to assemble Avengers. He'd be like, yeah, I know. You guys team up and get your little gas poses going over. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, over there. And everybody just stopped looking at him. He was like, what?
There's them two in a room together. Oh, my God.
Oh. I want to show you something beautiful here or whatever. He's just like, Hell's Kitchen is nothing beautiful about this. Okay? It looks like shit or whatever stuff. And then, you know, Ultron had that pose he did when Quicksilver was telling that story. Like, somebody meme that pose real quick, whatever. I'm telling you, people, if you go watch that movie, just wait for that story scene.
Yeah, somebody that should have meme. When
Quicksilver is telling the story of the death of his family, and Ultron has the biggest, I could care less look on his face, like, He almost has that look like, remember those black, that skit they did on Family Guy with the black cops and shit, where the one cop just kept going,
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the look he has. It's like, Okay, cool. So anyway, I got a plan here, and you kind of dragging the story on a little longer. That was bring this on the video, but that was one thing I loved about Ultron too. It's just like so much personality, and yet even in moments like that where it's supposed to be tender moments, you can still tell how robotic he is. Still, you know.
Yeah, that's why I approved that design, because you wouldn't be able to pull it off with the original Ultron design.
No. I need to see that movie again. That movie, right part, right there. That shit was hilarious. I remember sending Cody to theater. It's like, man, look, he don't give a fuck, dude. Like, just like, yeah. But anyway, people, I gotta talk about this fight scene with Naboo, man. Oh my god, man.
I love how they paced that fight out from the beginning to the end of the episode.
Yes,
that was awesome.
Fucking gorgeous, because at first it opens up with Daredevil damn near getting his ass handed to him, and he's screaming out in pain, and then it just cuts out. I was just like, nah, man, where's that ninja fight at, man? What the fuck? And like Cody said, they slowly build it up. They show you like clips of it throughout the whole episode. I thought that was just fucking spectacular how they shot that. You know, you got the whole thing here with Mrs. Cardenas, man.
Yeah.
I didn't think they was going to do that now, man. And what was sucked about it, too, is that a scene before that, Matt Murdock told them, take the money.
Yep.
Take the money. I mean, and you know, Foggy and them were just like, no, you got to fight for your rights and stuff like that. And Matt Murdock, he knows what Kingpin's capable of. So I don't think he was just saying that to be an asshole. He was saying that for fucking her health or whatever. It's just like, just take the fucking money. Trust me. Because if Fisk wants what he wants, he's going to get it, and he's going to go any limit he can or whatever. And like he said, he saw her rallying up the neighbors, thanks to Foggy telling her, rally up the neighbors and stuff like that, get them all together and stuff like that. And, you know, Fisk saw that, hey, she was like kind of like the leader of this, whatever, so you know what, take her ass out. And then to see Fisk even tell the story of, like, he's like, I didn't want to kill her, but you know what? As he was fixing his cufflinks, he could care less, too, just like, you know, fuck her. He pretty much said fuck her, you know, just...
Yeah, that was that real comic Kingpin right there. I was like, oh, shit, yep, that's Kingpin.
Yeah, like, he don't give
that's
a,
Kingpin,
I know. He don't give a shit, dude. It's just like, oh, and that fight with him and Kingpin, I don't know about you, but them goosebumps kicked in. I was like, oh, God.
I can only imagine, dude. Is Spider-Man, this new Marvel Spider-Man goes against this motherfucker?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Spidey has no fucking chance.
Yeah, they're going to have to go back to getting Toby, because I don't know if a kid can have a chance against this motherfucker. Like, shit. Man, I was like, you don't need a grown man to take this motherfucker. I was like, I hope that superhuman spider strength comes in handy for that kid, because, man, I hate to see Kingpin beating on a kid like this, dude. Because I was feeling bad for when Kingpin was beating on this grown-ass man right here. I even yelled out, I was like, you gonna make him blinder, Kingpin, stop. Shit. He was beating the fuck out. He had him on the ground, it was just nonstop. Wham, wham. I was like, oh, God.
Even before that, just the whole Naboo fight, man. He was slicing his ass. He actually, at one point, embedded a knife, whatever the hell that thing was, inside his stomach and dragged his ass across the floor.
Oh, yeah, and threw his ass with it, too. I was like, oh. And that fight was great, too, because it was going back and forth, but it was, like, towards the end where Naboo just pretty much had the upper hand, and he was just especially that the ending of it where he, Daredevil had his back to him, and then he just, like, sliced his back. I was like, oh, shit. And you saw, like, the blood come out, and his back just went down, and, like, Daredevil just passed out. I was just like, damn, dude, how the fuck are you going to get out of this now, man? I was like, I didn't think we was going to go back to seeing him this badly wounded from when he first met Rosario Dawson's character, Claire.
No.
But he was actually in worse condition than that. I was like, shit, dude. And that shit was hilarious when he set his ass on fire, though. I was like, because that scene right before that, he was just like, it was an honor fighting you. And Daredevil said, fuck honor. Fuck honor. And this dude, Naboo, still came at him. I was like, God damn. Dude. That was like that scene from Freddy vs. Jason when Jason was on fire and he was still slicing bitches and shit. Like, I was just like, oh, shit, that's even worse now. This dude still came at him and had to put him down even more. I love that this was the first fight scene we got to see hand-to-hand combat with the sticks.
Oh, yes, exactly.
I fucking loved it. I loved every moment of it. I couldn't get enough of it, man. It was
perfect. Everything about it was perfect. Like, especially, you end it with Kingpin fighting him? How could you get better than that? How could you pace it better than that?
I mean, I thought it was just going to end with the fight after Naboo, but the scene with Kingpin came in, I mean, that just sent shivers down my spine. I was just like, oh, my God, dude, you was already a good episode, but now you just gave me some dessert to go with this now.
Goosebumps.
And then to end it with Foggy finding his ideas is like, oh, my God. You just hitting me beat after beat now.
Man, that episode was fantastic. Fucking fantastic. Well, we say this every fucking week.
Yeah.
Say that about this show.
And then we say this every week, too. Where this might be my favorite episode now. By far, I'd probably say this was one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, man. I think I'm right there with you.
I mean, it gave you every fucking thing you wanted and, like, built it upon each other. Like, just when you thought, like, all right, man, I'm ready for the next episode. They're like, no, we're not done yet. You got 10 minutes left. And they show you just up it up a notch even more. And you're just like, oh, man, this is, oh, damn. So, yeah, obviously, this is getting a high fucking see it from me.
Yep, speak of the devil, high see it. Mm-hmm. Shocking, I know.
Now, next episode, Nelson V. Murdoch. I got some problems with. And mainly in some characters, too.
Okay.
Karen, she getting on my damn nerves.
I could see why you would get that notion.
Okay. And you know what? This is necessarily not a hard criticism, too, because that's her character. So I get what they're doing. She just pissing me off now. But
it's just a personal thing.
It's a personal thing now right here, because here you got Ben Urich. He straight up tells her, my wife, they refused to give her the extension here. I have to take care of her. I can't take chances like this no more. And what's the next line coming? Let's go for a drive. Let me show you something. She don't give a fuck about Ben Urich's safety or nothing like that. I'm just like, you a bitch. You know that, right? And then she's trying to sit up here and explain it. It was like, this is for the greater good. It's like, for you, not for him. Right now, his wife is his main priority, and you trying to Ultron said no strings on me. You trying to puppeteer the strings on him by dragging him along with this shit.
I applaud her tenacity, and her heart is in the right place, but the way she's going about it and the possible ramifications of what could happen from her doing this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Which I was already annoyed with. It even crossed even further line when she took him to Fisk's mother and didn't even tell him. I was like, oh, okay, now you didn't cross stupid territory now. I was like, you didn't took it to a whole nother level.
I think in the hands of a lesser actress, these problems would stand out more. It would probably be more noticeable.
Oh, yeah.
Probably take more out of the show itself. But she's such a great actress. Like, that I'm not, like, too bothered by it.
Oh, yeah, by far. So this is because her acting was great in delivering what she did, and, like, that's how they written and stuff like that, so I have no problem with that. This is a personal problem with it. I just, like, I don't like how you handled it, especially after Ben Urich told your ass, we need to watch all our safety. You mean tell me, after all the things you found about a Fisk in these past 10 episodes, how dangerous it is, even killing Mrs. Cardenas and shit like that, you still gonna test him, and by taking Ben, I mean, like, I'm fine with Karen, you know, he's like, hey, I don't care if I lose everything, it's fine, but then you take an innocent civilian into the situation and make him, this is like, you don't give, okay, you a bitch, okay, I'm sorry, you a bitch, dude. and then you know, that's why I had to watch the rest of the episode, because I was just like, in no fucking way that, because I was mad, I was like, nah, and then to see what happens in those future episodes, I was just like, that fucking bitch. See, I was like, see, that's what I'm talking about. See, fucking bitch, dude. I was like, nah, man. I hate that bitch now. I was like, nah, I don't like her. I'm sorry. The way she portrayed herself in that one, I was just like, you annoyed the shit out of me. And how she handled it. And even with the questions, like I said, even Ben just staring, just like, Karen, what are you doing right now? I was just like, I was like, no, stop, please, shit. She could give, and I love that line too. Ben, this is why Ben's such the, one of the best characters in here. He tells her, he's just like, you could give a damn about my situation. And he didn't say it like that. He said, I don't know how he said it. I can't remember the line he specifically said, but he said a line like that. And she was just like, that's not true, whatever. And just like, no, it is true. You don't give a damn about his situation. You seriously don't. Because you know what Fisk is capable of, and yet you still drag him to his mother's house or apartment. Not knowing that, If he had bodyguards there or something like that or anything like that, you know, watching his mother. I mean, come on now, shit. She played this shit so sloppy, whatever. Like, throughout the whole series, Ben's been telling her to watch herself, you know, and this goes back to her drawing motherfuckers at the auction and shit like that, how sloppy that was.
Right.
This was just as sloppy as that. And I was just like, you didn't learn a goddamn thing, really.
Nope.
She's one of those chicks that needs to get stabbed or shot in order to... In order to fucking get to, like, she's getting all the, like, she's always crying and shit like that, because, oh, this person died and shit like that. She was so close to me. It was just like, yeah, they were close to you, but ain't nothing happening to your ass yet. Somehow you right. keep getting saved. So, you know what? You ain't never going to learn until it happens to you.
Exactly.
Hey, and Ben, this one's for you, man, for getting dragged into stupid shit. I love it, man, because he just proved the black stereotype just right. Don't start none, won't be none, okay? Shit.
That's a black stereotype I have no problem with.
Yeah, and that white pussy just dragged him into this shit. Dragged him into that shit. Man, talk about...
Wow.
Just saying, Cody, did you see it? Oh, my God. Oh.
I laid out those terms exactly, but okay.
I'm just saying, that white pussy was like gold to Ben. He was just like, thank you, Lord, or whatever. He's just like, I love the look on his face, though, when he found out that was a kingpin's brother. He looked at her and was just like, no, this bitch did not. After I told you and shit. I mean, there's even scenes, I can't remember if it was in this episode or, no, it wasn't. It was later on when she shows up to his house and shit. I was like, Karen, God damn it. Shit. She was starting annoying the shit out of me. I was just like, oh. She's one of those chicks you just wanted to punch. And I was like, oh, God. You're so stupid. I know it's dangerous, but you need to understand how I feel right now. It's like, nobody gives a fuck about how you feel right now. Shit.
Yeah, it's about the future of Hell's Kitchen. My well-being, guys.
Yeah, shit. Oh, my God. Another problem. Foggy. Crying like some little bitch. Okay, yeah. Shit.
I wasn't completely in love with Foggy. I can see kind of where he was coming from with the whole trust thing and shit, but come on, man, you gotta get over that.
Okay,
shit.
Thank you.
He is really trying to make it a better place. He's trying to save not only your ass, but the rest of Hell's Kitchen itself.
By
any means necessary. He didn't kill anybody, so I don't know what the hell he's tripping about.
You know what this, and I see what they were doing here, but why it didn't work in some parts is because that is written for a romantic relationship. That is more written for a woman and a man to discuss or something like that. To see a friend, I don't give a damn how long you've been friends with someone or whatever shit. They tell you, I'm out fighting crime. They're going to be like, damn, seriously?
Yeah.
Like, Cody, if I was to tell you right now, like, if you was to walk into movie spoilers and you saw me dressed up and had blood on me or whatever, something like that, and you saw me dressed in a costume and news reports saying this hero was going around beating the shit out of people and shit, would you be like Foggy was? You'd be like... How the fuck are you doing that?
I give you the bro fist.
Yeah, exactly. I highly doubt a part of you is going to be crying talking about no trust on it.
No.
Like, I can understand that for 5 minutes of the show, but it went on for the whole show. I'm just like, Foggy, god damn, are you his bitch? Or something like seriously. Like, I understand, dude, y'all been friends for long, but every time Daredevil kept explaining himself, he just kept going, oh, but the trust and stuff like that. What are you talking about? Man, dude, I go out and fight crime. I'm stopping people from here and stuff like that. What other explanation do you need or something like that? Like, why would I have to tell you that?
Right.
And if I did tell you, okay, so what? Yeah. And I love that the line he said, too. He's like, I felt sorry for you. And he's like, I never asked you to feel sorry for me. Okay?
Hey, Greg, I get the circumstances are extraordinary. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man. Really? This dude's fighting crime. He's fighting crime.
And then even in the next episode, they took it to another level where he was throwing... episode also ended with him throwing the Foggy and the Nelson and Murdoch sign in the trash can. I was like, okay, come on now. It ain't that damn serious. It ain't that damn serious now. I mean, granted, it is serious for the altercations of, like, saying, my friend is the devil of Hell's Kid. Oh, my God, dude. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
But it's more of a reasonable conversation than how Foggy brought that shit. I was just like... Okay, you kind of annoying me too now with this shit. And then he took it even further with like, oh, I'm going out to bars drinking, I'm sleeping with my fine ass ex and shit like that, or I'm not returning calls, I'm moving my shit out of here and stuff. I'm just like, okay, come on now. It's like, this ain't that damn serious if you ask me.
Seriously, Jesus Christ.
This dude was Wayne. crying like some punk bitch or whatever shit. I was like, dude, come on now. Now, I'm sorry. Maybe that's just because I'm a guy or something like that. But I just don't see any friend reacting like this to this situation. I mean, if anything, you think that would have reinstated Foggy's trust in the Karen saying the guy in the black saved my life or anything. Like, you would have thought. Like, for him to even ask, like, were you responsible for that? It's just like, come on now, Foggy. Foggy, come on, man.
I will give it this much. It's much more believable than Electro's motivation.
Yeah, I will give you that as well, too. yeah, once again, great acting parts on Nate Jobs of delivering what they had to do. I just thought it went on too long and got annoying as shit. I was like, you can stop it now. It's just, because that shit went on for 2 episodes. And he's just like, okay, all right, it's not that damn serious. Why aren't you guys talking to each other and stuff? I'm just like, all right, yeah, okay, we can stop it right there. It's not that goddamn serious, people. Shit. Yeah. Shit.
Luckily, the flashback stuff was awesome.
Hell yeah, the flashback. Yeah, the flashback stuff was awesome. I mean, if a man tells you I have super hearing, I can hear a little girl getting raped in her sleep, whatever. That's why I had to go out and do this.
Like, come on, man. You like get mad?
I mean, damn. What would you say if I told Cody, man, my neighbor is constantly they got a child and she's constantly getting raped by the parents and stuff like that, and you just and I didn't do shit. I can see Cody on was like, so you just gonna let it keep happening? It was like, it's like, and I was like, I tell him shit ain't my problem. But if I had the abilities that Matt Murdock had, I've obviously, come on now, man, shit, who wouldn't stop that? I don't know. Foggy took it a little too fucking far from it. It was at that point now where people was complaining about him earlier. I was like, yeah, now I kind of see why they were complaining about him. I was like, yeah, you're kind of annoying now. You stop talking. Your voice is annoying to me.
Bring up the Cosby.
I'm not going to lie. Part of me wanted Matt just to punch his ass and say, will you shut the fuck up and listen? Goddamn. I done told you every reasonable explanation here. Okay? And the only an excuse you have right now is, why didn't you tell me? You sound like a bitch right now. Why did I have to tell you? Come on, that shit. I wish an Avenger would have showed up and said, come with us, Matt Murdock, or whatever. And I would let Foggy just speechless right there. Just like, yeah.
Leland show up.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, Foggy, for real, man.
I wish Thor would have showed up and just flied off with Daredevil, and Matt Murdock would have shrugged his shoulders at Foggy and been like, come on now. You think, come on. Look at this. I'm flying with fucking Thor right now. I mean, come on. Shit. And you up here bitching about why I'm doing this. Come on. Thor. No, shit. Look how purty he is. Shit. Look at that hammer. Flying. Shit. Look at that hammer. Shit. Damn. You know Daredevil has the hardest time picking up that hammer. Shit. He'd be like, you definitely unworthy, motherfucker. Shit. You ain't nowhere near where that motherfucker wouldn't even be able to touch it. That shit electrocute his ass before he even get near it. So yeah, I gotta say, it's probably my least favorite episode. Still a great episode though, just because those two goddamn characters annoyed the shit out of me. Just annoyed the fuck out of me, man. It was getting on my fucking. I never wanted to punch two people more than anybody than Karen and Foggy. I was just like, ah, damn, what do I got to fucking tell you? Seriously, what do I got to tell you, Foggy? You sitting up here talking about, or you can you even do that too? You told me, I was like, shut the fuck up, Foggy. God damn, shit. And Karen, you just a bitch. I'm sorry. You just an all-around bitch. You just an all-around bitch, dude. Yeah, like, you seriously don't give a fuck, dude. You seriously don't give two shits. All the dangerous situations she's been in, seeing that Fisk has people on the outside coming, and she's just like, I'm just going to drag him anyway. I don't give a shit. It's like, yeah, you a bitch. And I'd be happy to tell you that to your face if I was in this show.
Karen. Headstrong Karen.
Hot-headed, just acting ignorant. Like, seriously, that was her main problem. Is just she's doing a lot of stupid shit, which was my problem with her. What about you, Cody? What'd you think of this episode?
I enjoyed the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the Foggy Murdock confrontation, I don't think it bothered me as much as it bothered you, mm-hmm. per se. I did have my problems with it, but it did, like I said, it didn't bother me as much. Mm-hmm. My favorite part is fucking Vinny Curtis Hall as fucking Ben Urich, man. I love that dude.
That dude is fucking spectacular, man. This dude is.
I've never given two shits about Ben Urich ever, but damn, did he make me give a shit about him.
You know what? I was going to say, since we DC want to keep switching race of characters and shit like that, or Marvel as well, whatever, he'd make a badass older Jim Gordon.
Yeah, I can see that. see that.
Dude, the dude got like just, he just got something about him. He just got presence on screen, he man. Like
gravitas, man.
Yeah, like it just like with Morgan Freeman, you just see him as somebody's grandfather and shit like that. Like that's why he's in The Dark Knight, you just see him like in the background making shit. That's what he does. But with Ben Urich, you couldn't put him as a Lucius Fox because he's too active, man. He's too much out there. You got to put him in like a role where it's like shit going on and stuff like that, you know. Right. And I got damn near to say, in the past, the 10 episodes I've seen him in, I think he's done better than Morgan Freeman in his career than the past three fucking Oro. How many years since I've seen a good Morgan Freeman now? Since Dark Knight, that's 08 now. So it's the past 5-some years, man. Because Ben Urich, dude, is fucking incredible, dude. Just incredible.
Yeah, he really is.
All around, great guy, great actor. What he does on it, I mean, what he brings to the character, how he delivers his lines and shit like that. This dude is a bona fide badass, man. This is someone I'd be like, man, let me buy you a drink.
Hell yeah.
In all confidence, too. Let me buy you a fucking drink, Mike. Why am I talking Australian? I was like, wait, why am I talking Australian? What the fuck? Trying to hide my blackness from him. Like, he's one of those dudes you can see at the bar taking a sip of the drink. You ask him something or whatever, and he doesn't even have to look at you, and he'll say a smart ass line back. You'd be like, well, damn, I'll just walk away now. You know?
Exactly.
Love that dude, man. Love that.
You take a ride with.
Yeah,
dude's awesome.
Yeah, talk about he could. I'm gonna tell you, he could have been a badass Nick Fury. He could have been Jim Gordon. I mean, this dude deserves to be somewhere prominent in one of these universes.
I agree.
And I personally think he can pull it off. Whatever older character you can think of, I think he could pull it off.
Perfect. Yeah, man. But I get to wrap up my final thoughts. Like I said, I love the flashbacks showing the bromance between Foggy and Murdoch. Mm-hmm. Thought that was awesome. Seeing them at that law firm doing their thing and then eventually get their own business. So that was nice. Like you said, the Foggy Murdoch competition now has been whatever. But it didn't bother me too much. Like I said, finding Curtis Hall has been here, awesome. So this is another lovely episode. Not quite as good as the last episode, just like you, but still getting to see it. So again, a bona fide see it, my friend.
Yeah, for me, this is probably the first one that's not going to get a high seat from me, so it's just going to get a seat. People are like, that make a difference?
That was gorgeous.
Because even though I didn't like that confrontation between Foggy or whatever, Matt Murdock has some great fucking dialogue in that scene.
Yeah.
He has some fucking, he has some nerve-wracking dialogue in there. We just look at him and go like, that's why when you look at Foggy, you're just like, you ain't got no argument, bro. Just, I mean, Matt Murdock was us and Foggy was Wayne. We trying to tell him about X-Men and Avengers and shit like that, whatever. He's sitting up there trying to tell us about He-Man and Turtles and shit. And we just like, you ain't got no argument, bro. Okay? It's like, you getting nowhere with this conversation. You just need to stop, whatever, and shit. It's like, this dude's bringing up legitimate points or whatever, and all you can think about is, you lied to me. It's just like, okay. Yeah, yeah, all right. That, whatever, man. Shit, it's no big deal, dude. People, only 3 more episodes to go and only 2 more shows to go for this. So that means, you know, we got to do 11 and 12 and then 13. The final episode gets its own recap. Ooh, I can't
wait. Final countdown.
I cannot wait, son. Man, so people, thank you for listening to the Recap Daredevil. We are the Recap Crew. I'm the Phenomenal One.
I am Cody.
And we cannot wait to be back for episode 11 and 12, people. Later, bastards.
Later, you beautiful bastards, you.